Hey, everybody. Welcome back to our second episode of the What Are You Doing podcast, a podcast of the Arizona Mission Network of Southern Baptists. I'm Andrew.
I'm John.
And I'm Josh.
And today we're going to be talking about teaching, teaching the next generation, teaching in youth group, and just some different modes of doing that, some different styles of doing that, and how all those styles really have their own unique value and their own unique what they're adding to the student's experience with God and with His Word. So just kind of to kick it off, what are some of the different teaching styles and mechanisms you guys use for teaching the Bible to your students and your youth groups?
I use an iPad. When we were prepping for this one, I was like, I use an iPad. That's my teaching style. I was like, that's not actually it. No, I think like it depends on when we're teaching. Mm. You know, I do youth group Sunday nights, and so our Sunday night youth group looks a little bit more like what our Sunday mornings are modeled after. It has kind of a structure to the service, more or less. And it's not the same feel as Sunday school. Mm. Like what's being taught is much more in depth. It's a little bit less like question response. It's more like here's 20-30 minutes worth of a lesson, and the things, usually we're going through a book at a time or things along those lines. And it's much more, of a serious tone, at least I feel. Whereas like Sunday mornings are still serious, but it's more discussion based, round tables. Let's have conversation around it. Let's just fill up the hour. Usually following a longer curriculum, rather than just like a book study, and kind of going from there. So even, I mean, I know it's the same day, both on Sunday, but it's like more teaching, and then it almost is more, like this is like the exact same thing that I see, or the students would see, like Sunday mornings in the service, main mm-hmm. service type thing. So yeah,
almost like youth service preaching.
Yeah, definitely more along kind of those vibes, so that they understand like there is a seriousness, in my opinion, there's a seriousness behind God's word, why we're doing it, why we're modeling it in this certain way, almost like practice, like this is what it looks like. This is how we ought to act as then we go and be a part of the larger church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting just looking at how different people do it differently. Because even if, as you were describing Sunday school, I started to picture what we do in Sunday school, and it's a little bit different, where, you know, we do vary it sometimes, and sometimes it does look more like what you do. But I feel like Sunday school, you were talking about, I think you were saying a serious tone in the evening, right?
Much more. Yeah. We're very like, here's seeker central. Mm. Like let's get after like firm gospel presentation and a call to action at the end of the message and everything like that.
Yeah, I feel like there can almost be a tone with Sunday school where it almost feels like more academic, like it's school. Mm-hmm. You know, here's the Bible story. Make sure you know the Bible story. What are the big points? yeah. And that's really, really good. I think, like, just thinking of how we do it, we do have some conversation and some discussion, but it is different than what we do on Wednesday nights. So that's when we have our youth group. And it's structured around a section that's just kind of teaching, preaching, kind of somewhere in the middle there. And then a time where we break it out with our different volunteers. And the volunteers all each run a different small group. Mm-hmm. And those students are able to have those conversations there. So it's just, it's interesting to look at different structures and different reasons to do different things, different places.
Yeah. Well, and the effectiveness to students is the same, is not going to be the same from group to group. Like, I think my students are super used to, my style of teaching, but like our structure to how the group goes. And it's not the same as other groups. It's not the same, you know, structure in any way, but it's also like if they were to go to another group and another group does more, discussion based or something, my kids would be super thrown off. Not that we don't, we do small groups and stuff every time, but the small groups are based off of like a strong 25 minute. Here's very clearly, you got your notes sheets with at least 3 points on them and the passages, and we're in just one passage, so you can turn back to it. Whereas like I teach very like exegetically, and I know a lot of some other youth groups, most other youth groups probably teach very topically, like let's hop around, you know, topic to topic rather than book to book. So I don't know what you guys do with all of that, but like our model is very like very similar again to what Sunday mornings look like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, because I know you preach sometimes Sunday morning at your church for big service, right?
Big church.
So what is the difference for you preparing a sermon for big church versus preparing a sermon for your youth students? Like, is there a different way you go about that, or is it pretty much one for one?
I'm curious, John, what yours is like, because you teach and preach and study very different than I do.
I think a lot of the prep work ends up being very, very similar. Yeah. It's just how you package it. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest things that I always like to think about is, who am I talking to? Like, I remember the first ministry I was ever in where I was teaching regularly was with 3-year-olds. Mm-hmm. So there were really practical things that we would do with the 3-year-olds, and, you know, we would draw pictures, we would act it out and do all that kind of stuff. And a lot of it is thinking through, where are they at and what's going to connect. So there might be ways I think of adults, ways I think of youth students, and just what's going to connect with them, and kind of a varied rhythm. To talk about big church, I think big church is a little bit different because we don't get to do it all the time. So there is a little bit of not the same rhythm. I feel like with youth, one of the things I try to do more and more and more is to vary what I do. Because it's good to have a structure and form. Like you were talking about, if your students were to go to my church, you know,
they'd be so thrown off.
Yeah, it'd be weird. But for us, we do have kind of a basic form, but at the same time, we don't want to do the exact same thing every single time, because now it's just, well, I guess we're going to hear so-and-so go on.
Same old.
Yeah.
So
I think that's just the uniqueness of students too, though. Like in a big church service, you can do a lot of very similar things. Like I almost feel adults more structured with that more liturgical service. Whereas students, they want things mixed up a little bit more. They kind of want that feel of difference. Maybe the teaching style is more like a Sunday morning. But I mean, I personally, I'm manuscript. So even Andrew, to answer your question, like my prep every week is like open up a Word document and just start typing. And I've got pages upon pages worth of notes, where I've seen some guys have got like just their 3 points written at like the top of their Bible page, and they can preach a 45-minute message. So I always feel the pressure of like what are people expecting of me in this moment, and what is the authority behind the message that I'm giving. I think that sets the tone for what I'm doing. So if I'm teaching 3-year-olds, like I teach the 1st through 3rd grade class at our church right now. And it is not the same as teaching youth, but like I still, when I'm preparing for it, I'm writing things out. I'm taking the notes down, and I'm figuring out the passage, and the points might still be the same. The things that I'm teaching the kids might still be the same. Maybe the presentation looks a little different. I could get up, we're in Galatians right now with our students, and I could get up on a Sunday night for youth and give them 3 points, and here's a handful of things worth of application, and let's talk through the text. And I can go and I could do that same sermon on a Sunday morning. and I'd probably change up, again, manuscripting, I'd probably change up kind of the delivery of some of it, maybe a little bit less jokes and a little less talking through some of those things, saying, you know, all the youth slang that's out now. But the articulation of what's being said through the passage is going to be the same across the board.
Yeah. And right. God's truth is always the same. Yeah. Right. No matter what audience we have, we're always teaching God's word. We're always teaching the Bible.
Yeah.
But I appreciate sharing that. Even the jokes thing, that was one of the things I was really curious about, you know, as you're getting ready for your youth sermons, your youth messages, are you being more humorous? Are you telling more jokes? Are you, than you would on like a Sunday morning, especially just since you, Seth, made that comparison between your Sundays and your youth groups, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I might make more jokes at the beginning of a message, even Sunday nights and stuff. But once we really, I'm weird with it. As soon as I get in the text, like it's like a light switch, something changes, and it's like, we're serious, like hammering it home all the way until the finish. And I try not to add too many jokes to a Sunday morning service, because I want my church to see me. It's like, hey, like I know what I'm talking about. Like, I'm not just the youth guy who jokes around with the kids all the time. You know, I understand what I'm saying, and I want you to understand it with some authority too.
Yeah, I think with that too, though, part of it is just communication, how people understand things. When I'm talking to someone that's older, a lot of times their attention span is better, and a lecture is going to work well.
Yeah.
When I'm talking to a kid that's been scrolling on TikTok, for an hour before youth group, they're very used to
1 minute attention span, 1 minute attention span.
I mean, there's something really there about the way that you communicate and maybe, you know, moving in and out of illustrations, moving in and out of different kind of connections. I'll often try to say the same thing three times, three different ways, because you know, maybe one isn't going to click with you, maybe one isn't going to make sense, and you know, each time I explain it, we're just swiping up, and maybe you'll like the next one a little bit better, and you'll understand it. But I think there really is something with different age groups, different demographics, everything. You know, really understanding who are these people and how am I going to communicate clearly to them in a way that they can understand and take it.
Do you guys use a lot of like different varying examples rather than just, I don't know if that's the right question to it, but do you guys use a lot of, you know, imagery or stories or
like a lot of illustrations,
all these, well, different forms of illustrations, even like, you might share a story from your childhood that clicks really well with one or two kids, but you know, the next week, now you got to come in and here's a visual representation. Or a handful of weeks ago, we did like at the end, there's a call to response and we just put on music and like, just let the kids kind of respond in that way too. Like, do you guys use those frequently or do you feel your students don't relate to them? I mean,
yeah, I feel like I try to vary.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I can think back to this past Wednesday. There was a particular point and I illustrated it three different ways. I really like the three, cause you know, if I try it twice, you know, maybe you were zoning out for the first two, but the third one, that's on you, buddy. Yeah. So just that kind of repetition I find super, super helpful. And especially with, kids, youth, repetition is really, really big. There was something I taught maybe a few weeks ago for college. And what we did was, it was a story that was pretty simple. And the way that I went about it was I looked at it through three different lenses. So we went through the same thing. And then it was, hey, did you know you do this? Did you know you also do this? Did you know that you also do? And being able to look at and identify with, and it's an opportunity to repent in those different ways. And it might be, you know, two of those lenses really connect with me, but that third one, I really didn't get it. That's okay. But it gives more opportunity for response.
And I would just say that's probably why conclusions are so critical. I know in seminary, that was one of the things that my preaching professor drilled into me, and that kind of opened my eyes, that how often we throw away the conclusion. You know, we get through all of our points, all the meat of the message, and then, you know, at the end, we don't bother writing out the summary statement because we just did all the study. You know, we just went through it all. But it is, because that last point might have been the one they didn't connect with. And so I need to have something really intentional that's bringing them all back. Hey, you probably were not tuned in and clicking and engaged with 100% of what I said over the last 20, 25 minutes. You know, I know some youth groups even go down to like 15. There's still going to be some kids who aren't engaged all those 15 minutes. And so, man, if I can make sure that my conclusion, my summary at the end is really good, and that I'm repackaging it, almost repackaging it again as like, okay, if you tuned out for everything else, you know, here it all is in one bite size, you know?
And I feel like with this, we've been talking more preaching, but like, that's one of the things that's interesting. Right now we're doing something weird, so we're not doing what we normally do for youth group. But generally what we'll do is we'll have a teaching time, but I intentionally don't finish the teaching. And the reason for that is we go to small groups after. So it's something that's more general, more broad that I teach. And then when they go to the small group, when they're in the circles and they're able to share with one another, that's when they get to the more personal application. That's when they're able to share. So I think that's kind of a strategic thing too, to kind of think through. I like to get everything down to one point, but I also like to make sure everyone goes home and has something, whether it's a truth, whether it's something to do. I think sometimes circles are a little bit more effective to do that than rows.
I use tables every week. I've always got, you know, five or six round tables out at all times, so that even when I'm teaching, the kids are all seeing each other and that. But then when we break out to all these different small groups, we've got our churches at a point where we can go into different classrooms instead. So we can really, like, you can be in this closed space. I think similarly, John, that's like the practical application of these things. That's where I'm challenging the students to go and now hear, you've heard the gospel, you've heard this message, you've heard what it is. What are you going to do with it? A lot of my small group questions are typically targeted at like, what are you currently doing? What are you maybe missing?
And now what are you going to go do this week? Yeah. And sometimes that looks like three or four questions. I've definitely had times where even my leaders will tell me, hey, that was too many. So I'll write out like 10 or 12 questions to try to get to this same point. But it's just that reiteration. I think my repetition, how many times have you heard the point, comes in small groups more often than not, I think.
Yep.
So, yeah, because I know the kids will almost always enjoy talking to each other and to their leaders more than they will.
More than you.
Sitting. More than they will sitting and listening to me for 20 minutes. Yeah. And that just might be, my group, but I know kids just like to talk in general anyway.
Yeah, I think that's a crucial thing too, where you got to pour into your leaders. Mm-hmm. Like I got to do the talk with KJ, and just hearing him and the way that he does things, you know, he really pours into the leaders. The leaders do a lot of the ministry to the students. They do a lot of those conversations. So it's really introducing the big idea and kind of getting back to the, you know, different styles with preaching and teaching. Preaching and teaching, you're either teaching, you know, whatever it is from the Bible, making sure you understand, you know, this is what you get from the textbook. Preaching, you're getting more to like the application, the call to something. There's something encouraging to it. With small groups, there's a lot more that happens.
Mm.
And a lot of times we're not the ones running the small groups. So being able to pour into those leaders and get them better equipped, I feel like is huge.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you guys do, knowing that small groups are a critical part of both your ministries? How do you equip your volunteers to be small group leaders? And maybe feel free to touch on too, what is the difference between leading a small group and teaching? Mm. Because you can be good at one and not the other. So how do you equip your volunteers in your youth ministries to do that well?
Yeah. Go for it.
Okay. So I'm picturing youth manuscripting. I think a lot of the times people, when they do small groups, if you're a manuscript person, that doesn't work.
Oh, I'm the worst at small groups. I was that's what I was going to say is like, when it comes to me leading a small group, I can't like probably just because it'll turn into another sermon, but I mean, I can't lead a small group. I have to train my leaders to do it well. And I use that time typically to take out all the trashes. Like I'm doing like the last minute cleanup janitorial work. So yeah, I think you're right, John.
Well, and I think some people go into small groups with the idea of it's going to be another sermon. I'm just going to reteach whatever was taught. And that's kind of a waste of time. We just heard it. We don't need to hear it a second time. What we need is for you to be able to be vulnerable and open and honest. They don't need another kid talking to them and, you know, being hip and trendy. They need someone that can be honest and, hey, I went through this too, and be able to share from a mature and appropriate kind of space, of course.
Yeah.
But they got to be able to think on their feet, and it's something where you talk about the questions. I love giving questions. I also love when leaders are able to gauge, hey, there's something going on with this student, and we're going to pause all these questions because what's going on right here is way more important. And when this person, you know, experiences this transformation, when this person is able to share what's going on, it's going to be a lot more helpful. So it's something where, you know, for small group leaders, please listen to what I told you to do. You know, don't get off on another sermon. Mm. But also, if God's doing something, ignore what I told you to do and seek that out.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah. I always hate when my leaders are like, well, we only got to question two. Sorry about that. I'm like, don't be sorry, man. Like, that means you had a conversation for 20 minutes over like something important. So, yeah.
No, that's huge. So for us right now with our small group leaders, what we're trying to do is just meet more often. Mm. I think that's one of the huge things. If you go into a small group and you don't know what you're talking about, that's pretty rough.
Yep.
If you're learning about what's being taught as you're sitting there and watching the teaching happen, you're trying to apply it to your own life and you haven't had time to soak it all in. So if you're able to meet with your leaders, if you're able to kind of give them the vision and cast the vision for where you're going to be going, that's super, super helpful. I think some people get really, really into it and they have like a newsletter that they send out, and that can be really tedious and it can be beneficial or it can be distracting. But I think one of the key things is pouring into your small group leaders, because they're the ones that are going to be fielding more of those questions.
Yeah.
And there might be training to do there too, you know, how to field questions and, kind of a protocol where, you know, if this gets brought up, call me over, cause this is something that's a little bit more rough and I want to be able to support you there. But as much as possible, just empowering those leaders, encouraging them, share your life, share your walk. It's huge for them to have those other adults able to pour into their lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Our leaders, we talk a lot. I think outside of like constantly meeting, like you should always be meeting with your leaders very frequently. We tend to meet like with a scheduled meeting of like, we have an agenda. These are the things we're going to achieve at least once a month. But our leaders are constantly texting, constantly talking. I'm lucky enough, blessed enough to have a strong team that talks to each other without even needing to talk to me sometimes. Yeah. Even without sometimes knowing the small group questions beforehand or knowing some of those things, they've already had conversations about like, hey, this student's going through this. This student's going through this. Hey, if this comes up tonight, because I know this is going on in their life, like I'll grab them and then you lead the Bible study. So I think especially my female leaders actually are really good at starting to recognize those things and saying, hey, you're going to take point here. I'm going to take point here. If this happens with this student, we're all going to move around and kind of shuffle and do this. So like the constant communication between your leaders, it makes a huge difference. I think it's great when the leaders have relationships within each other as well. Mm-hmm. Like your leadership team, they all enjoy being around each other and serving together, rather than them all seeing opportunities. Like how can we serve, how can I serve Seth? Like what can I do to, make sure he's set, which is always super helpful for me. It's like, what else can I do to make sure that the other small group leaders are equipped? Like that's huge too. Ours are, they're all super smart, but there have also been times where like the kids will throw them a curveball and whoever was point for that night, especially like with our guys, whoever was point for that night, they might be like stumped or something for a second and someone else jumps in, right? Yeah. It's like, hold on, let me help with this. I'm not going to take over for you because I want to help make sure that like we're each allowing, whoever it is to lead, you know, and do those things too. We also are inviting up, like students to lead small groups a lot, too, and try to encourage like that student leadership as well. And even within that, like that then shapes how I structure like small group questions and what I'm asking my leaders to do. And it just over and over and over again, it becomes this, are you constantly talking to your leaders? Mm-hmm. Are you telling them expectations? Like if you have a specific goal you want to meet with small groups at that night, like have you communicated that with your leaders? Do they know what's up? Do they know what's going on in students' lives? Is there something that they need to know in case it comes up? And I think a part of it comes back to training as well. But just there has to be like a clear, easy flowing line of communication, whether it's like for us, it's a group chat, or if it's just meeting 20 minutes before a youth group and chatting through some things, whatever it is, like communication with your leaders is so crucial if you want to run an effective small group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's huge. Well, I think probably every church is going to be different. Every youth group is going to be different. Mm. You know, you both were talking about volunteers and I'm just thinking of the small rural church where it's like, it's me and one person, you know, and there aren't an army of volunteers who are coming to help. And so, you know, the person who's preaching the message might also be the person who's leading the small group and they might be the one person, you know? And so, so it does look different ways, right? It looks different ways in each context. I think the big thing that I keep hearing from you guys is the intentionality.
Yes.
Am I being intentional in gearing how I'm presenting biblical truth to these students? Like, am I doing it purposefully? Mm. And am I levering whether it's teaching, preaching, small groups, like whatever format I'm using, am I doing it on purpose? Because this is going to be the best way to communicate this truth to these kids. Manuscripting or not, iPad or not, right? All of it's about like, am I communicating this well? Yeah. And part of that has to do with knowing your context and knowing your kids, right? If you've got talkers, they're not going to sit and listen to a 30-minute lecture, right? Mm. If you've got really quiet kids, that might be the best thing. They might eat that up, right?
Yeah.
And then they want to go to a small group with two other people afterward to talk about it. And so, yeah, just knowing your kids, knowing your context, and being targeted in what teaching mechanism you're using in communicating that truth. So I think we're out of time. Just gauging it here. I think we're about out of time, so I'm going to go ahead and call it here. Sorry, guys. I know I'm sure we could have talked about some more stuff. We'll have to save that for next episode. But thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you tuning in to our second official episode, main episode, I guess. So this has been the What Are You Doing podcast of the Arizona Mission Network of Southern Baptists, and we hope you'll tune in again next week, next month, whenever.
Next time.